So there are two major things you're doing today. It's all really the same chapter of the manual. So one of those things is molecular modeling, and the procedure for that starts on page 23. And that'll take you most of the time. The other major thing, which is a major thing in itself because it's not really related to the molecular modeling, is the investigating solvent and solute molecules, which starts on page 28. You could do that first if you want. It doesn't matter. Do them in any order, but that doesn't take nearly as long. Anyway, those are the major things you're doing today. And functional groups on page 32, I haven't quite gotten to in lecture, but I'm just about to. I just want you to realize that learning these functional groups on this page of the manual is required knowledge for the lab. So you need to know that for the lab's sake by next week. But I'll also be discussing it in lecture to make more sense of it for you then. Okay? Everyone understand that? In other words, it's fair game for a quiz question, a lab quiz question, but it's also going to be lecture material eventually. And by the way, just week to week, not just for this chapter, but the author of this, which is not me, has these metric system exit tickets for each chapter. Ignore those. I don't use those. And also ignore the get ready for the lab quiz. She's describing her own quiz, not mine. I've already talked about my lab quizzes. But the rest of the stuff is stuff you should be doing.
I'll try to look online to see when the lab report is due, but I couldn't find anything on it.
Where does the lab report due date appear? The answer is where all due dates appear, which is where?
In syllabus?
No. Where on Canvas?
In the summit?
So you guys are making it harder on yourselves than it already is by not exploring Canvas like I told you to do the first day. There's a dedicated page on Canvas called Assignment Schedule.
I looked on that. I didn't see it on there either.
For what are you looking for? I've forgotten
around.
Right. Yeah, the osmosis, the saltwater report is listed on there. And I don't have it memorized, by the way. That's another reason I didn't just directly answer you. Okay, so it is coming up. I think you still have like a week and a half or something, roughly.
Yeah, it's the 12th, February
12th. That sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now, to today's stuff. We're doing, like I said, I'm not even going to talk about the solvent property ones, which is all the stuff on your trays. That's straightforward. Just follow the instructions and do it. You can do it in probably about 10 minutes. The rest of the time, though, will take longer, and that involves your molecular modeling kits. Go ahead and take them down, but notice there's two kits per table. They're identical kits. Just don't mix up their contents. Make sure you put your stuff back in the right box. But go ahead and open them up and take a look at what's in there. A bunch of wooden balls, for one thing. Now, first of all, this is molecular modeling. Keep that in mind. What is a molecule? What do you know from lecture about a molecule?
It's more than one element.
Not necessarily. An oxygen molecule, for instance, is an element still. So it's not more than one element necessarily. But what is true of all molecules? What's the difference between a molecule and a formula unit? Okay, this is not looking good. It looks like you're putting off studying until the night before the test. You have to review these recordings a little bit at a time each night, or you're going to really struggle. We're already kind of getting sparse in here, and we haven't even had one exam yet, which is the easiest one. But it doesn't mean it's easy. It just means it's easier than the others. And I'm not saying this to bitch at you. I just want to keep you on track. You have to review this stuff. And it shouldn't be the case that zero people in here know any of these answers to any of these questions I've asked. A molecule is made when covalent bonds are formed. Salts are not molecules, right? Because they're made out of ionic bonds. We're doing molecular modeling. We're making molecules. Okay. So, what do the wooden balls represent? What does each individual wooden ball represent? An atom. More specifically, we're talking about molecules, therefore, what kind of atoms?
Nonmetals.
Nonmetals are the atoms that can combine with covalent bonds to form molecules. That's what we're talking about. And where are the nonmetals?
Right side.
On the upper right-hand corner of the periodic table, except for the right edge, of course. Okay. Now, there are more nonmetals on the periodic table than you have in your kit. But you have the ones that are really important to biology in your kit, which are these four right here. Oh, I'm sorry. These three, CNO and H. Remember, always keep in mind that hydrogen, despite its position, is a nonmetal. So you have hydrogen, you have carbon, you have nitrogen, you have oxygen in your kit. Well, it's pretty easy to tell the different kinds of atoms in your molecule from each other because they're colored differently, right? Assuming you're not colorblind, it's easy to tell, or blind. But even if these were all just natural wood color, none of them was painted, you would still be able to tell which one's oxygen, which one's hydrogen, and so on. How would you do that? By the number of holes, yes. And so, which one is supposed to be hydrogen? And how do you know that other than by looking at the little card? Okay, what does the number of holes represent in chemistry? The valence, exactly. And keep in mind that the valence of a nonmetal is an indication of how many bonds that kind of atom needs to make to be satisfied. And therefore, if that atom is part of a molecule, it will have to be making that many bonds, a number of bonds equal to its valence, in order for it to be satisfied. And in a complete molecule, every atom is satisfied. In terms of molecular modeling, that means you have not made a complete molecule if there are any empty holes. All of the holes have to be filled. Okay? Now, without cheating and looking, if you made your own ball and stick models, how many holes would you drill in an oxygen atom? Two, because the valence of oxygen is two. It's two steps from the right edge. That's a valence of two. It's always going to form two bonds. But for oxygen, there's two possibilities. Hydrogen has only one possibility. It's going to form a single covalent bond with something else. An oxygen atom can form two different single covalent bonds, meaning with two different atoms, or it can double bond to one other atom, forming, you know, a double covalent bond counts as two. Still is always going to be forming two bonds, though, every single oxygen atom in the molecule, and so on for the others. All right, now, what about the wooden sticks? What do they represent? More specifically,
covalent bonds.
Each individual stick is a single covalent bond. And therefore, it represents what in reality? What is a single covalent bond made of? More specifically, well, what I meant by more specific is how many? Right, a single covalent bond is a pair of shared electrons, one from each of the two atoms bonded together by that single covalent bond. They're each contributing one electron, and they both get credit for both. That's what satisfies them. Okay? So one stick means two electrons that are spending time around both of those two atoms. The wooden ball really represents the nucleus of the atom. Those are staying put, but the electrons that are being shared are spending time around both of them. All right, well, why do you have springs? What does a spring represent?
The double covalent bond?
Well, not truly. A single spring is also a covalent bond, just like a stick. But we use a pair of springs to represent a double covalent bond. It takes two springs to make one double bond. Why do we not use just one pair of sticks?
Because the double pair is stronger.
Well, that is true that it's stronger, but that's not why in the model. It's not really having anything to do with chemistry.
The wood would not bend.
There are angles to these holes that correspond to the angles of the tetrahedron I mentioned in lecture. So carbon has a tetravalence, a valence of four. Notice the way the holes are drilled in carbon. They're drilled right toward the four corners of the tetrahedron I talked about in class. And the oxygen doesn't have holes on opposite sides. It has them at an angle for the same reason. So if you get two oxygens together, sticks don't line up because the holes aren't parallel. You can't bend the sticks. Therefore, for one double bond, you use two springs because you can bend the springs. And that means you should never use a single spring for anything. If you have a single covalent bond, use a stick, not one spring. Use springs only in pairs. And when you complete the molecule, whatever it is, you build a few according to the instructions. Just make sure that by the time you're done, you don't have any empty holes, as I said. If you have an empty hole, it's not a complete molecule. Not everything is satisfied. But the reason that particular molecule forms in chemistry is because those atoms, by forming that way, all satisfy their own valences. Satisfying the valence in terms of model making is filling the holes. But in chemistry, it's getting credit for additional electrons to make them just as stable as noble gases. Everyone clear on all that? All right, well then, just see how well you can follow instructions. Talk it out with each other. You should work with people. So technically, you could do this alone, but it's better if you do work with someone. So either groups of two or three, it doesn't matter to me. Go wherever you want. But talk it out. Make sure you understand it with each other before you go on. And call me over. I might not be looking at you, so yell at me. I'm going to upload the lectures.